So my name is Georgia Caruana. I'm a second year PhD student in the Department of Psychiatry. So my specific research is within the Melbourne Neuropsychiatry Centre. And my thesis for my PhD is focusing on understanding white matter integrity in the brain in bipolar disorder and sort of how that might correlate to different biological changes or even cognitive changes that people with this disorder experience throughout their course of illness. I came into this after studying a Bachelor of Biomed at Deakin University down in Geelong. I did that with honours and then took a bit of a gap year, relaxed a little bit, got my head out of study, and then started the PhD last year. So I'm still very new to research and learning a lot with every day that passes, but I really love what I'm doing and hope that it will take me further in the area of helping people and mental health and science in general. I guess a bit about myself beyond science is I love to cook, and that has been one of my favourite little hobbies, especially now that we're stuck in ISO. I did the stereotypical sourdough starter, made a lot of pasta, all that sort of stuff. But I think having those little hobbies makes everything a lot more fun, and it's a nice balance within my studies. So yeah, like to cook, like to eat, love my coffee, and love my science.
I think I can relate more so to the love of eating. I think my cooking's not maybe quite as good as yours is.
My nonna is very proud. That Italian heritage definitely comes through. Want to learn all her recipes. And my partner, he gets to definitely enjoy it now that I'm just pushing food in front of him constantly.
So how far through the PhD are you?
I'm probably about 18 months in. So in terms of PhD, it's sort of a little bit different to undergraduate study, of course. They go for around 3.5 to 4 years if you're on time in Australia, which is a bit different to other PhDs overseas and whatnot that tend to extend a lot longer. I'm doing it full time, so hopefully I can finish in that kind of max 4 year time frame. The way it works is for the first year or so, you're kind of on probation, whereby you have to kind of demonstrate your capacity for the research, build your sort of research proposal and ideas, and start completing some of the work, which takes you then to confirmation, which is about a year in or so. I recently did mine, and once you're confirmed, you're kind of able to proceed through the next steps of your candidature and your PhD. So it's kind of goes from that 1 year mark through to the rest, where there's small progress reviews throughout, and yeah, it kind of just keeps trucking on. It's a pretty heavy course load. We don't have any classes as such, but you're kind of expected to do 40 hours a week of this PhD work, similar to a job in a full-time capacity would be. So yeah, still very early on, I feel. I think all of last year, the first year was spent just kind of reading and getting a grasp on the literature that interests me most so I can shape my research proposal into something that is both interesting to me but also necessary and fills a gap in the literature globally, I suppose.
So how are you finding it at the moment or throughout really, and now of course transitioning to things being online and the pandemic?
It's definitely a roller coaster. I know that's so cliche to say it, but starting off, I was super nervous. I had done my biomed degree kind of coming from high school and this idea that I wanted to be a doctor. I think a lot of people do biomed for that reason. And for whatever reason, that doesn't always go to plan, and you kind of find these plan Bs or these alternate pathways that are still really interesting. The PhD last year was spent just trying to work out what I was interested in, which was kind of hard because you're given kind of a research group or database or clinical study to work from, and there's this breadth of data or this breadth of ideas that you can possibly explore. I'm lucky that my supervisor and the group that I'm working with had quite a well-established clinical study going already that was looking at all of these correlates of cognitive and behavioural and biological changes in people with bipolar disorder. So I was able to kind of jump in on that and see what I really liked and loved, which took a lot of time because you can imagine when you're reading scientific papers, there's so many little nooks and crannies and niche parts of the research that you can look into. So most of last year was hard in that it was just trying to narrow down what I liked and get the ball rolling with that. I guess the tricky part as well is finding something that hasn't really been done before or that is a little bit new and worthwhile to pursue, because you don't really want to waste research time and money, and you want to ultimately have something that is not only publishable but that can actually be translated into policy, clinical sort of outcomes, etc. So finding that sort of really neat little field that you want to focus in on was tricky. This year then became even harder because of COVID. A lot of my work to date had been done just on the computer, so I had the luxury of kind of doing my PhD anywhere. But this year was meant to kick on with a bit more on campus, hands-on work, testing patients, doing data analysis, looking at brain scans, etc. That now has kind of changed my timeline a little bit, where I'm focusing on what are often the more mundane tasks of data analysis and writing rather than seeing people, which is what I love the most. So it's a little bit hard. Every day is a bit of a challenge, but I guess we're lucky to be doing what we're doing in the first place. So kind of have to find the positives in it all. My idea is if I can at least stay focused on the writing component, I can kind of get a bit ahead there and start putting the thesis together, which seems bizarre given how early on I am in the process, but time flies. So if I can at least stay focused on that, it'll be good and get that out of the way so that next year, once we're back to normal, whatever that is, I can start seeing patients and doing that cognitive testing and hands-on work again, because that's what I really love.
Would you say that, I mean, just based on what you've said so far, is that you look through the literature and find something that you're passionate about? Just for most of your colleagues, or like based on your experience, do most people doing a PhD decide on their thesis that way?
Somewhat, I guess. There'll be some people that go into a very clear defined project. It's often based on the supervisor in the group or even the field that you're in the first place. And they will have a clear project already outlined for them. And I kind of had that when I signed up for the PhD. I did a bit of scoping around on research in general that fascinated me and that I loved. I did my honours with bipolar disorder, so I knew that that was the kind of clinical state that I was really most drawn to and most passionate about, and then found a project. But things change in science constantly. So I guess from that general project that I was given in my experience, I then kind of had to read through the literature and find what I liked that also aligned with the work that my group was already doing and the work that is kind of going to fill a gap in the literature more worldwide. Some people will already have a clear project sort of given to them and they work through that. It's a bit of a mix for most people from what I've known. But either way, sometimes it's a continuation of honours work even. So there's different sort of ways you can come at it. But I think in any sense with a PhD, you're very much making it your own still. And I'm pretty open. I'm early on. So things might change as the research kind of progresses. And I think you have to have that flexibility of having a clear structure, but also letting the science do some of the work, if that makes sense.
So you talked a little bit about your idea of going into biomed with the idea of doing medicine, and now talking about your passion in terms of the research and having that clinical component and being able to see patients. Mm-hmm. Was there a kind of factor that helped you make that choice between doing the clinical practice in terms of going on to study medicine versus what you're doing now in more of a research capacity?
I think some of those decisions are made for you in a way. I loved high school. I loved science at high school and I did quite well. So I thought, you know, I can get into med. I didn't apply for undergraduate med because I didn't really want that. I wanted to come at it a bit later on with more experience and more knowledge. But biomed was hard and it is so competitive and you're kind of pushed into this world of not having many friends because you're fighting against each other, but also needing to learn together and this constant stress and pressure that comes with wanting to apply for med. I did sit the GAMSAT a couple of times. I did pretty well. I went through an interview at one point, didn't get a position, which I was really embarrassed by and I was really ashamed of it. But I'm now better at talking about it without that shame now, even with you guys and with a wide audience, because that's a really normal part of the process. People make decisions. Some people will keep persisting and they'll keep applying until they get in. And awesome, go for it if that's what kind of motivates you. But I know in my case, I kind of wanted to explore something else and keep working towards a goal, whether it be as a clinical doctor or in research or whatever, just kind of keep moving. I had the gap year after honours to decide. And in that time, I decided, you know what? I like the idea of a PhD, because I guess what boiled down for me was the actual values that I align most with when it comes to work and study, or what drew me to wanting to be a doctor in the first place, which was kind of these ideas of using science to help people, solving complex problems, making clear decisions and being a bit of a leader, and just generally trying to make a positive difference in the world. I told myself, you know, I can do that as a clinical doctor, as an MD, or I could do it with my PhD. It's just whatever I wanted to get out of something. And I found in the PhD would be a really good thing to do and open a lot of doors for me going forward. So whether I, you know, go back to med after this, who knows? I'm obsessed with studying a little bit. But for the time being, I find this really valuable. And in a way, because it's focusing on psychiatry and mental health, which is what I love the most anyway, I'm getting a lot out of it because I still get to see patients. I still get to work in a kind of clinical sense, but also ask those more rudimentary scientific questions, which are really interesting as well. So that's what worked for me. And it's a bit of a balance. And it's not so much a plan B, but just altering my approach and realizing what it is about medicine that I like and how that might translate to a different career progression or something like that. Because at the end of the day, the sad fact is not everyone's going to get into med. And I think there's a lot of pressure put on us to be that minority that does get in, but we can still find a lot of value and contribute a lot to the community without necessarily doing that exact course. So yeah, I guess you can, there's always another way, or you can keep persisting and play it out, whatever works for the individual, I guess. It's good to be focused and determined and have a clear goal, but a part of that journey is being flexible to how that might change or adapt throughout time. Because like 15-year-old me wanted to be a doctor without, I could not picture myself doing anything else. But now I'm almost 25 and things are different in my life. You consider work-life balance, you consider what you want in the next sort of 10 years or that stupid idea of a five-year plan, and things do change, and that's okay. You're not letting your child self down if you don't pursue that certain thing. There's no pressure on you to actually do that. Because we find what we love at the end of the day, and you get out of it what you put into. They all sound so cliche, I guess, but it's true. And we do put a lot of pressure on ourselves to have it all worked out at a young age, but that doesn't need to be the case. We can take our time to learn and to grow and explore, because we're going to be working for a long time. I think that's a given, especially with the way the economy and that sort of stuff is for us as we grow up to be grown-ups and adults and wherever. But in the long run, if you don't love what you're doing, then it's going to be really hard and you may end up working different careers anyway. So keeping that open mind is important. I think personal satisfaction is such an important part of your study and your work, not just reaching this expected goal that you told yourself you were going to do when you were younger and therefore you have to do it.
Was there sort of any incident in particular that inspired you to do the course in, i.e. mental health, that you're currently doing? Or was there anyone that sort of gave you that inspiration, or it just came out all of a sudden?
I was really lucky. I've loved science since I was young. My mum's a science teacher. She's a chemistry teacher. And we grew up having not only her school books and her molecular kits and test tubes and that sort of stuff, a part of our household and a part of our kitchen table. That love of learning and questioning and scientific curiosity was there from day one. And she really fostered that. We went through primary school and high school doing that with her. When we were younger, she'd take us into the lab when we had days off school and we'd get to see her do these experiments. And it was the coolest thing in the world. To me, my mum looked like a super mum, a superhero. And I was like, this is what I love. I love this creating stuff, working out how things work, especially then within our own bodies and our minds. I guess that kind of grew in undergrad when I was doing biomed. The course at Deakin was a little bit different in that we didn't have as many breadth subjects that you guys at Melbourne Uni do, which I think is such a good thing. But I still managed to find some electives here and there. And I happened to take one in behavioral neuroscience that I absolutely loved. I have always been fascinated by the body and the mind, but it wasn't until I did this class that I actually felt that curiosity and that pull to ask more questions and delve deeper and understand why, that I hadn't really had in other things, because I was just so obsessed with it that I was just taking everything at face value and like, learn more, tell me more. But with the brain, I was actually sat down and I wanted to ponder it more and delve deeper. From that, I guess I found the research project for honours that I really was drawn to, and that was in bipolar disorder, and it had that really nice balance of the brain dealing with people, doing wet lab science. And then overall, the idea of working in mental health just absolutely took over my life, because it is something that affects us all in some way, shape or form. Mostly everyone we know has someone that we're connected to that may have an experience with mental illness, or even within ourselves, we go through these periods where our mental health may not be at its best. And I think talking about these things more, understanding them better, breaking that stigma and advocating for mental health as much as we do every other condition that is apparent in our world is just, that drives me. And that's what I really love the most and hope in my own small way to be able to contribute to. So I guess from that, it's just, yeah, finding that little spark of interest that, you know, you can kind of pursue for a significant period of time and it will keep you motivated to learn. For me, it was the brain and mental health and science overall.
Just to wrap this session up, what's your sort of one given advice for current students deciding on their postgraduate course?
One piece. I'm not good at summing things up in small words. My supervisor will tell you that when she reads my drafts. But I think finding that thing that you love and taking the necessary steps to work that out for yourself. With postgrad courses, we have a breadth of options, like not just at Melbourne Uni, but within any university in Australia or overseas, there are so many specific courses, be it like a master's by coursework, graduate diplomas, PhDs, whatever that you could possibly study. And having all those choices there is awesome, but you kind of have to work out which one you're drawn to the most, because postgrad is really different to undergrad learning. It's a lot more self-directed. You don't necessarily have those clear milestones throughout your degree, like the exams and the classes that keep you going. I know saying to you guys now that having exams is a good thing, it sounds crazy, but it almost is, because you can kind of clearly measure how far you're going through your course. We don't have that in postgrad necessarily. So you kind of have to find something that you're passionate enough about that will keep you motivated throughout what is quite a long process. if I can give a few more little tips, because as I said, I'm not good at summarizing, I think finding a research group is equally as important as finding a topic that you're interested in, because you're going to be working with these people for a long time. You need to be able to connect with your supervisor and the other students that might be in your research environment. So you can do that by sending out those emails, by asking to talk to prior students or current students that work in that lab, and just making sure that the team culture works for you, because at the end of the day, not everyone gels, but, and that's not right or wrong, it's just a way of life. But if you can find a community that you know you can be your best in and that will support you and you can support them, that makes the studying a lot easier. And my final little tip, I'll make it three, is maintaining a work-life balance throughout your studies, because obviously people are really wanting to be high achievers and wanting to work really, really hard, but burnout is a thing. And I think it's been such a concept throughout time that you have to suffer through your studies to be successful. But I don't think that's the case. I think we really need to balance what we love about our learning with equally as important things within our life itself to make us more balanced, well-rounded people, but also to do better in our studies, because it doesn't become all-consuming in a way, be it volunteering. I've done a lot of that sort of stuff in the past that I loved, and it also helped me work out what I wanted to research, because I knew that that love of people and of mental health was what was driving me. So keeping that balance and allowing yourself to take a break, allowing yourself to do those little Netflix binges or going for walks, going for coffees, obviously without COVID, these things are a bit easier, but keeping those hobbies is vital to doing well and to enjoying yourself. Because postgraduate at the end of the day isn't compulsory. It's not something you have to do, but if you do choose to do it, you need to really enjoy it along the way.
Well, thank you very much, Georgia. It was really useful insights. I think everyone will really find that very useful for anyone interested in research or also just choices generally.
Yeah, and if you know anyone ever wants to have a chat, they can find me on Twitter. My username is just @GeorgiaCaruana, as I'm sure it'll be in the show notes or whatever, because I'm always happy to have a chat, give some advice. I've done a bit of peer mentoring here and there, and I think the more everyone just shares their stories and normalizes the idea of pathways changing, especially for students in biomed, is just so important, because we're all on our own little journeys. Like I said, as cliche as that is, we got to just work out what works best for us. And I'm happy to help with that if I can.
Awesome. Thanks so much for sharing, Georgia.
Thanks, guys.